Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our consideration today are the words of the Gospel reading. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us. Set us apart from this world by the truth. Set us apart for you. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, what are you looking for? Again, that's the question before us today. In Jesus' day, people were looking for all sorts of things. The Sadducees, a group of the Jews, they were looking for someone who would restore prosperity to Israel and freedom, like they had had during King Solomon's reign. The Pharisees, another group, they were looking for a man to lead the hearts of Israel, to follow every letter of God's law and the Talmud, but not its spirit. They were not looking for Jesus. The people during Jesus' day were looking for a powerful ally. How about you? How about us? Are we looking for a powerful ally? I don't think that's in our current way of thinking as Americans. We are not oppressed like the Israelites of Jesus' day. We are, in fact, the greatest, wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. In general, Americans are not looking for Jesus, though, either. They're looking for the convenient man. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for that convenient man? Are you looking for religion on your own terms? Are you looking for Jesus, a Jesus who does not offend, who does not call us to account for our sins, who pleases us in every way, a God that fits our pocketbooks and our calendars and our ideas about self-serve religion, the God deserving of our thoughts and words, but not of our hearts and lives? We will not find that God here in the divine service, or at his font, or at the Lord's table. By nature, we're not looking for him as he is. We're looking for the kind of Savior that seems most beneficial to us at the moment, that convenient man. The Jews of Jesus' day, with all the revelations and prophecies that they had before them that were heard every Saturday in the synagogues, they did not recognize him. There stands one among you whom you do not know, John the Baptizer said. The majority of them were not looking for him with the right eyes. They were looking with these eyes, and not the eyes of faith. Even John the Baptizer, the greatest of the prophets of grace, he was a human being like you and like me, and he has to admit that he wouldn't have known Jesus, who he really was, had not God shown him. He said, I do not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. By our very nature, we're not looking for Jesus. We wouldn't know him unless God first revealed him to us. The true Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world, to snatch them away. But our sinful nature doesn't like that idea, doesn't want to let go of its sin. Sin is its most treasured possession. Without sin, the sinful nature dies. And so it's deathly afraid of what Jesus represents. You don't need to look at your own sins. The sinful nature convinces us sometimes of that. So we look this way and that, and we pay attention to other people's sins. And we don't need to look at the lack of our own righteousness, it says. Just look somewhere else, or make up your own if you need to. You don't need to see Jesus. Look away to another Savior. Oh, what wickedness there is in our sinful hearts. So where are you looking for him? You will not find a Savior in yourself, nor will I. If we dig deep enough, we're going to find nothing but the sinful nature down there in our hearts. And it has no good word about Jesus. You're not going to find a Savior there. Nor are you going to find a Savior by listening to the words of the world around us, for it is made of sinners like us. You certainly can't trust in voices or visions or questionable miracles and wild emotions and the like either, because the devil, who is like a lion, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he is the father of lies and deception. Since the fall of mankind into sin, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, God has not pointed us to things like that, fleeting things, for assurance and true knowledge. In his great wisdom and his love for us, he revealed his Son not with big flashy displays of power to impress us, to impress our eyes, or big thunderclaps to impress our ears. God has no need to impress anyone. And we have need of faith. So he reveals his Son with divine patience over thousands of years, long years of prophecy, and at last by the eyewitness testimonies of John and the other apostles. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So where are you looking for him? If you're casting about with these eyes looking for him to appear, if you're trusting in your senses or your sensibilities about religion to find the Savior, you won't find him. God desires that his Son appear to be foolishness to the human mind and to our senses. Jesus was here. He did walk upon the earth, but he had no form or comeliness. And when men saw him, there was no beauty that they should desire him, the prophet said. Do not look for Jesus with these eyes and these ears and with this little mind of ours, but rather behold the Lamb of God by faith. Faith in God's unchanging holy word, the Bible. Look there. That's where you will find God. That's where he has promised to be. That's where he speaks of his profound and perfect love for his Son. When he says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is where God tells us that his Son must remain hidden to the devil and the world, and yes, even our own sinful flesh, because he's a secret weapon in the arsenal of the Lord. In God's profound and perfect plan to save us in Christ, listen to how he is described by Isaiah. "O coastlands to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he has hidden me." The Bible doesn't appear to be much. It looks like any other book, but it is where God reveals to us his love for us, his plan for us, and he has empowered that word so that it places faith in our hearts that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He substituted himself for us. He received upon his back and in his soul the punishment that we should have received for our sinful nature and for all our evil deeds. You wouldn't know this looking at Jesus with these eyes. You can only see this by the eyes of faith. And faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of Christ, it says in the Bible. So come and see. And believe, dear Christians. Believe in the love of God poured out for you in Christ Jesus our Savior. A love which we didn't deserve, but which God was pleased to give to us freely because his Son was willing to die for us and did. So where are you looking for him? Behold the Lamb of God in the Bible. Behold the Lamb of God there in that baptismal font. Most of us can't remember our baptisms with our minds. We didn't baptize ourselves. But again, this is as it should be. For God wants us to have peace and assurance that it doesn't depend on the works of our hands, but it depends upon him. And baptism is not with costly and showy things, but with water and the word. Simple, unchanging, life-giving words and water free for you. And finally, behold the Lamb of God where he comes to us at this table. The very body and blood is often offered here by God's grace. Some will look on, and whether you can come or not to this table, you should behold there the Lamb and know that your sins are fully and freely paid for because of his sacrifice. This is the greatest fulfillment of the name that John spoke. Here is the fulfillment of the Passover and the sacrifices. Here we have the crucified one among us. Again, you can't see this with your eyes. You can't understand it with your reason. You must trust Jesus at his word. This is what faith is. From this point in the gospel accounts forward, Jesus has embarked on his mission to serve mankind publicly. He went forth and he preached the very same good news that you're hearing right now. He found the lost. He healed the sick. He reproved falsehood. And he directed us to the truth that we can't save ourselves, that there's no convenient Savior here. He has directed us to understand that he is the living connection between baptism and the heavenly feast. He is our connection between our baptisms and our feasting with him in the great pavilions of heaven. And this supper is but a foretaste. So now, Christians, why are you looking for him? We've been given the greatest gifts. We have received them without any merit on our parts. How can it be for any other reasons than gratitude and repentance and love and trust? We want to live in him between baptism and that great feast above. He snatched away our sins. He took them away as far as the east is from the west. And we have no more life in this sinful world. Our life is in him and his in us through the supper. That's what Paul means when he says, "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." So do as he did, dear Christians, because you are in him by baptism. For you, he resisted every temptation, so you may resist temptation too. He sought us, lost and condemned sinners, to save us by water and the word. So too, you may do that. Seek the lost. He reproved falsehood. So we should too. His love covered a multitude of our sins, and now our love may sprinkle the world with his grace. Look at Andrew. How can we not have the same reaction to God's grace? And find our neighbors and invite them. Find our relatives and brothers. Invite them to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What good news this is! Now, sometimes we fail to do that because of the weakness of our flesh. But he's not failed. He never could. He's the Son of God. Ask him for the strength to do this. He will give it to you. It's his will that everyone around us hear his word. That's why we're here. That's why our congregation exists. I want to leave you with these words from our Lord. "Now let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds unto everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.